Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 15 is what we're going to read. One more message of what if. And that's going to be coming next week. But today, what if your life touched another person? What if your life had the influence over just one more person on the face of this earth? What a difference it could make. We want to read out of Matthew, chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. He said, "And Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? Who do they say the Son of Man is?'" What are you hearing other people talk about? When they're talking about me, who do they call? What do they say? In verse 14, so they said, some say John the Baptist. In the conversation, he says to them, "But who do you say that I am?" What do you say? When you're talking to your friends, what do you say about me? Who do you say that I am? Have you ever noticed when it comes to talking to others about your faith, you get this dry mouth and the words don't come out easy and it just seems a little awkward? Now, if we're going to talk about the Rangers or the Cowboys or fishing or shopping, we don't have problems with that, do we? But if we start talking about the Lord, if we start sharing our faith, the devil just kind of moves in and makes us feel that's awkward. Jesus says, who do you, when you talk about me, who do you say that I am? Some people just back out and go, I'm not a good witness, so I won't even be a witness at all. Whether you know it or not, that's exactly what you are. You are a witness. In one of the letters that Paul writes to the Corinthian church, here's what he says. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. You yourself are a letter written on our hearts, known. Listen to this, man. This is powerful. You are known and read by everyone. They know who you are just by looking at you and observing you. Maybe not stalking you, but you know what I'm saying? They've looked at you enough to know who you are. I see some of you in places that I'm not used to seeing you, like at the grocery store or Lowe's or Home Depot, and you're like, I know them, but I put a face with them. But you're used to seeing me in this setting, and I'm used to seeing you in a pew. And when I see you behind a shopping cart, I'm like, man, I know them. People look at us. People know us. They know who we are. In another translation of that verse, it said, your very lives are a letter that anyone can read just by looking at you. Your life reveals to others what you are. And when it comes to who you think Jesus Christ is, he doesn't have to ask us the question. He looks at our life. And our life reveals what we think. Where you go, what you do, your manners, your behavior, your appearance. You don't have to say anything. These are things in our life that speak louder than any words that we could ever say. And sometimes they are in conflict. Sometimes they're confusing. They know you're a Christian, but by what you're doing and where you are and what you're saying and your appearance, they're like, I'm just not sure. And I find it interesting that Jesus was curious about what other people were thinking about him. Paul says that our life tells everybody what we think of him. Maybe a good exercise would be to think back over this past week of our life, how we lived it out in a day-to-day experience. I'm sure that there were moments that you're not proud of, but there might be moments where it was like, hey, I'll experiment with this week. And there were moments in this past week when you think back that, yeah, my life reflected good on Christ. There might be some friends of mine who saw the way I reacted, and they might want to know more about Christ by my actions. How well does our life represent Jesus to the point that it becomes of interest to those who are watching? What kind of picture do we paint every day of who Jesus is? We can say words all day, but our actions speak louder than words. Amen? I mean, by the things that we do, we are known by our actions. Words come easy. Words come cheap. Words are shallow. That you just want to take their word anymore. It's the appearance. It's what they do, how they live. We are living in a day when we ought to be encouraging one another. Amen? There's enough people that will slap us around and beat us down and keep us depressed and discouraged and despondent. We are the ones who are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And we are to be lifting one another up. He said, as a matter of fact, the harder it becomes, gather together and encourage one another. I used to think that verse was about having to go to church. That verse is not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some are, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to encourage. We ought to be encouraging one another. Letting our light shine. Doing it to the part. Live out that in our life. Three things I want to. Our life message, we ought to have at least three things. Number one, people need to understand that God can save anybody. God can save anyone. Number two, God can lift any burden. And number three, God can answer any of our questions. Hebrews, the 7th chapter and verse 25 said, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 37, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. There are some people that you run with, some people that you hang out with, who've already reached the conclusion that they are too bad. They've gone beyond the point of help, and God doesn't love them anymore. He cannot reach that far. They have crossed the line. They've done things that he cannot help them with. They need to be reminded that there is no one that he cannot save. No one has gone too far. No one has done too much. If you're like that, you need to know you'll never go beyond that point on this earth. That God can't reach down and pick you up and deliver you. John 3:16, what does it say? God so loved the world. That's you. That's me. That's those that run with us. Those that are our friends. Those who are in our neighborhood. Those who are our relatives. Those in the class. They need to know God loves them. They haven't crossed any lines. When I was in high school, every year you get a thing called an annual, right? We were Paris High School Wildcats. That was our mascot. But our annual was called the Owl. I never could why are we called the owl when we're Wildcats? But anyway, every year you'd get an owl, and you did something else. You might have had a photo in it. How many of you still have your owl? Just hang on to it. We were in college. They did the same thing. But my junior year, God really started working in my life as a teenager. So one of the things that I did, I wanted everybody to know that I was a believer and that I was a Christian, but I just didn't want to, you know, tell them. Let them find out some other way. So when, you know, you'd pass that book around and have your friends write things about you that you hoped were good. Well, every time I wrote in somebody's owl, under my name, Eddie Adams, I wrote this passage of scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. I thought that was gutsy for me, and it was for me. That was just my way of letting them know I'm a Christian. My senior year, I did it again. It is going to be hid to those that are lost. In other words, God gave us to show others, right? Hide it. It's going to be hidden to those that have never seen it or heard it. Our gospel is hid, it is hidden to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those that believe not. The devil, our enemy as a believer, is busy putting stuff up and distract and distort the gospel. And if our gospel in our is hidden, we pull it in and don't share it or live it, then the lost are never going to see it because they've been confused from the word go. We need to let people know God can save anybody. And God can remove the blindness that's in their eyes and in their heart. He can do a work. People need to see that God cares. And one of the ways that they can see it is the way you live. Not what you say. It's how you live it out. The second thing that ought to be there, not only do people need to know that they are saved, regardless of what they've done, the second thing I believe people need to know is that I don't care what your problem is, God's bigger. He can lift up and lift off any burden. He can take care of it. In our twisted world we live, people are broken. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, a mom wrote about her son that had driven his car through a 3-ton piece of granite with the Ten Commandments on it. And she said, "My son is broken." Well, yeah. But we're to some extent all broken. We all are burdened and down. Stressed beyond. People talk about, well, you need to leave a little margin. No, we are so stressed, we can't even see the edge. We're overboard, overextended. What happens is this. People start hiding that stuff. We don't want the world to know that I'm broken or burdened. I need to stand up straight, put a smile on my face, and pretend things are great, when deep inside, they're not. We hide behind someone or something, and that's how we live. I'll just say this out of love. There's not enough mascara out there to hide everything. It's not enough. Inside, there is our soul that cries out, "Doesn't anybody care about me?" Well, let me just say this. It's hard to care about someone. Say this correctly, because I could lose my job here. It's hard to care about people who hide their concern. Does that make sense? If you're always working at hiding it, it's like people who used to, this has happened to me more than once. I was in the hospital and you didn't come by to visit me. I'm sorry I didn't come by to visit you. I didn't know you were in the hospital. I don't go to the hospitals every day and sit out there in the front, look and see if there's any of our members. Can't do that. Matter of fact, Archie and I were going over to a hospital over in South Oak Cliff the other night. And he's like, do you know where this is? And I'm like, yeah, I know where it is. And I'm not real happy to be. And when you put on that mask and you stand up tall and straight and you're happy-go-lucky, the appearance looks like everything's okay with you. And we know it's not. To some degree, we all need fixing, amen? To some degree, some more than others. But we all have a few repairs. The psalmist said, there was no one on my right hand, no one is concerned for me. I have no refuge, no one cares for my life. A lot of people run around like that, that God doesn't care. I don't need God. He doesn't care. They need to know that He can take care of anything there is. He can lift any burden. If you feel that way today, you've got it wrong. God can take care of your burden, but you've got to let go of it first. You've got to quit pretending, quit playing, quit posing as something else, and be real to Him. He's a God of love, and He's a God that cares. Our world is full of people who are hurting, and they are ripe for the harvest, and they need to see that the Lord that you say you have living in your life has made a difference in you. Amen? That's the message they need. They need to know when you go through tough times, and they need to know how that the good Lord takes you through them so that they can be helped by you. That's how you know. As believers, it's not the time to be silent. There's not a one of us in here who wouldn't like to have a time of rest. Right? Like a day off. Like just to have a time. Peter said, cast all your care on Him. All of it. Quit trying to handle it yourself. Cast all of it on Him. He cares for you. The little stuff. Well, I don't want to bother God with that. Well, you know what? Those little termites flying around your house, you may not want to bother yourself with them, but if you let them continue, you're going to be buying another house. It's the little things that we need to take care of and tend to. Lastly, this morning, He can answer any of our questions. He might not answer them like you want them, and He may not answer them when you want them, but He is capable of answering. A couple of areas where people are hurting. A few weeks ago, we mentioned the fact that every wedding, half of them ended up in a divorce. Why? Because the devil doesn't want you to be happy in a marriage relationship. Some just hanging on. Maybe you're waiting for the other one to die. I don't know. Maybe you're just hanging in there waiting for something to happen. But you're miserable. Disillusioned. And you got some questions you really want to ask Him. Go ahead. Turn it over to Him and see what He says. He may give you guidance out. I watch people try to parent. Listen, it's never been, I don't think, I'm not an expert on this, but I don't think it's ever been easy to parent kids. But I think it's got to be harder now than I've ever seen it. I mean, we had distractions, come on. But you think about what our kids are up against today. They're close to being endangered species because parents are even walking off the job. Nothing I can do with you, send you to grandma. Abuse, abortion, neglect, parents having to work two jobs. We're in trouble. But we're not going to turn to God because we don't think He has the answer. Our life needs to show the people around us God has the answer. If you don't understand it, you can trust Him. You can pray to Him. You can ask Him. Most of the people in financial battle. It is a war. Struggle each month. We drown in debt. We only know one way, and that's the way to just charge it. We're one paycheck away. Something happened to us that we didn't get that paycheck, we'd many would be in trouble. Unpaid bills. We'll just put those over there and take care of them later. We don't have no direction. Can I tell you that this book has answers for all of those things? God says He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and He even owns the hills that they're on. And you tell me I talk to certain people, and my consensus is others need to know, this is not going to come across right, but not many things do, that your life ought to be a blessing. Your life ought to be blessed to the point that others go, how do you do that? How does that happen? And this book has the solution. You honor God. Plain and simple. It takes a little bit of trust, a whole lot of risk. People tell me, well, here's what I'm going to start doing. I'm like, yeah, okay, good. Hang in there because you are in for a whooping. When you write out that check or when you cut out that so many dollars to give back to God, it's a whooping, isn't it? You think about, oh, I could do this. We could get this. We could pay that off. We're just giving it away. You know what? God says, when you honor me, I'm going to honor you. Finances ought not to be the heart throb of most families, but unfortunately it is. And we have the secret. We should know the way, and our life needs to reflect it. How can you do that? How can you afford this? Look how many kids you've got. I don't know how to answer that either, except that God said He had honored. Your life has a message that your family and your friends need to hear. And not so much with their ears as with their eyes. Who do men say that I am? Well, we know who He is by how we live, right? And that's the connection. It's not a mystery. It's not difficult. This morning you may be here and you think you're that person that God can't help. No. Besides, there's a lot of other people besides you that think that. And they're wrong. You're wrong if you don't think God cannot reach down out of heaven and touch your life. And as a believer, you need to understand, you need to get rid of some of that stuff. You just need to clear house. Get rid of it. You don't need it. It is fuzzying up your message. People see you and they're not real clear. Whose side's he on? Who are they living for? I'm not real sure. And if you're not sure what that's kind of, ask God, he'll help you. He's into that kind of thing. As a church, as believers, this place needs you. That house you live in, God put you there for a reason. That job you're going to in a few more hours, God gave you for a reason. Those children that get in your way around the house, God gave them to you for a reason. Your extended family, you're there for a reason. Now is not the time to retreat. What if your life touched somebody? The book of Jude. Been so long since you've been back there, you're thinking I'm making this one up. There's a book called Jude. I just am thankful daily that it's not called Judy. Because then she could quote, here's what my book. In the book of Jude, it says this, that when we live life in such a way to save people from going to hell, it gives this word picture. We pull them out of the pit. Pretty vivid. We don't have to have a big imagination to know what it looks like for somebody to reach down and pick us up out of the pit. There are people in your life that need to be picked up out of the pit. And you're the person that can be used by God. What if your life touched somebody? Maybe this person here today. You got some questions. None of us who come up here to help you have all the answers. We don't profess to, well, we're the experts. Come talk to us. But we do know where the answers lie, and that's with God. And we will take you by the hand, and walk you through, introduce you, and find out what he has to say. You don't have to go alone. Two people I'm talking to here. Somebody needs some help, and there's somebody who needs to make sure. You need to be conscious about it when you get up in the morning that people are going to be looking. They're going to be thinking, whose side's he on? Whose life is he living his for? That needs to be on our mind. Because that's why we're here. Our next trip is to heaven. But while we're waiting on that journey, God leaves us here to be his testimony. Letters written by God, read by all men. Bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer.